cash, every movie costs $2,184.
Welcome, everyone, to Backtracks Theme Music. My name is Corey Morissette, joined, as always, by the effervescent John Mariano. How's it going tonight, Johnny?
It's terrific. I'm really excited because we finally get to resolve something tonight that's been chapping my ass since I started recording with you.
Oh.
You host a couple of different podcasts, but you have two different co-hosts.
That's right.
And the problem is, I feel there can be only one.
Oh.
I think it's kind of bullshit. Like, you record our podcast, but neither one, and you've said it outright, are your favorite podcasts. Like, you actually enjoy recording with the other guy more, even though you do more podcasts with me.
I don't know if I've ever said I enjoy recording with the other guy more, but the other guy in question is our good buddy Mark Kammeyer from And the Podcast Will Rock. How are you doing, Mark?
Me, the other guy? I mean, here I am. I have entered the Backtracks domain.
We are going to get a duel by the sounds of it here tonight. Mark versus John for the affections of the fair maiden Corey here.
Just as long as we don't do it over holy ground, because that's forbidden.
Fair enough. Now, Mark, we've been waiting to get you on the show forever. Thank you so much for making the time to come on Theme Music. We know you're a huge movie fan. You're a huge fan of Venom. You're a huge fan of Black Adam. But when we gave you the task of picking a movie and a song here tonight, you went a little older. You kind of went all the way back to 1986. Maybe tell us about the movie you chose and the song you chose.
I did. I went back to the 80s to a beloved film that I've always enjoyed, not so much for the dialogue or the special effects, mainly for the possibilities of what it could be. And I'm referring to the mythology of the story of this particular movie. And it did span it created some sequels that came with it. It came a series was even adapted later of all different mediums. But I am talking about the 80s classic Highlander, starring Christopher Lambert and the ever dominating presence of Clancy Brown, about the Scottish immortal who has to fight every other immortal for the prize. You guys know how it goes. There can be only one. And that's the case of the movies too, because as I said, there are many sequels and many TV show variations, but only one have been good. And that's the original one. And in part, that is because the soundtrack of Highlander, all the songs written were by the band Queen. And I don't think I even need to mention the credentials of Queen. I mean, you all know if you're listening to Backtracks, so I'm assuming everyone knows about who Queen is and what they do. We're a rock and roll podcast, part of a rock and roll podcasting network. Queen is, you know, you're all well versed in Queen, but the song I chose specifically from the movie is Who Wants to Live Forever, kind of their slow ballad, as it were. But yeah, that's the one that I have just always gravitated to. It's not only, I think, the best song on this soundtrack, but it's also one of my all-time favorite Queen songs in general.
It's an all-time classic, and now even Queen, when they go on tour with Adam Lambert, kind of takes on a new meaning. I know Adam Lambert has kind of added that dimension to it, but in the film, this song is kind of used more in terms of Connor McLeod and his wife Heather, if I remember correctly, growing old and dying, and it kind of yes. brings forth the theme of who wants to live forever. So I'm certainly, and when you said we're doing a Queen song tonight, I got very excited. Queen's one of my favorite bands of all time. And you mentioned this soundtrack. There's some great cuts on here. I even like Gimme the Prize, Kurgenstein, yes. that Queen did. But Princes of the Universe was kind of the big one. It was the mm-hmm. theme to the TV show, if I remember correctly. I think they used that song. And it's part of a pretty cool album that Queen did called The Kind of Magic way back in 1986. So, John, I know you've seen Highlander. What are your kind of thoughts on the film?
I get it. Like, I really dig the song, first of all. Like, I'm really happy Mark picked a Queen song, because I've been looking forward to talking about Queen, and I'm really happy it's this song, because this song is a very special and deep song that's taken on a lot of different meaning over the years. As for Highlander, though, being the movie, Mark, why did you pick Lesser Terminator as the thing we were going to talk about today?
I don't know if that applies here, because Terminator has machines and time travel. This is more about an immortal who's just been living on Earth with other immortals, fighting them and beheading them.
So allow me a minute, Mark. But
okay,
being immortal, we get to feel centuries past. Whether centuries are going backwards or forwards in either one of the movies, but it ends up in this, you know, dimly lit urban area where these two beings of another time are chasing each other for the bulk of the film for various reasons, with a desire to kill them. In both films, they feel that there can only be one of them by the end of this film, right? Like, when you really break it down, it's essentially the same structure of a movie with slightly different plot points.
You just described every movie in the 80s.
I mean, did I?
Yeah, you did.
I mean, I don't feel like I described one of the Rocky movies. A bunch of them came out in the 80s. I didn't describe any of the Star Wars movies. A bunch of them came out in the 80s.
There can be only one, and Rocky won all of those fights. So, you know,
and I'm pretty sure most of the guys he fights live in the end.
But do they?
Yeah, it's a stretch, Mark. It's such a stretch right now what you're saying, that I want to put it on and wear it for Thanksgiving and go eat a turkey.
Hey, look, the holiday seasons are upon us. You want to go eat turkey? I'm not going to stop you. Go eat it.
So I appreciate that we're talking about this movie. I didn't feel this movie aged well, like 5 years after this movie came out. And while the Terminator effects wise didn't age great, the action, I feel, did, and certainly the pacing and the tone absolutely did. The only thing that this has over the Terminator movie is the soundtrack, which thankfully we're talking about tonight.
Well, you'll hear no arguments from me on that point.
I tell you what, Highlander's kind of become a cult classic. I know John hates when I use that term, but I remember when I was in film school in 1992, Highlander was huge. And of course, it came out in 86, and a bunch of shitty sequels came out after. But and like Mark, you alluded to it, the premise of Highlander, about a group of immortals who have to like duel and behead another immortal to take their power in something termed the quickening, if I remember correctly, until you're the last one standing, and then you get the prize. And they don't explain until the end of the movie what kind of the prize is, but just that premise is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, and that's essentially why I think Highlander is still so an intriguing property, despite the fact that every sequel that came after it just failed to live up to that standard of the original. Even the TV show, as well done as it was, and it was its own thing, it still just didn't quite capture whatever it was that captured us in that first movie. So say what you will about it, and I think the dialogue, a lot of the acting, and definitely the special effects, they don't hold up in today's standards, and probably didn't hold up 5 years later, but it's just the mythology is what's so intriguing on top of the soundtrack.
I do want to point out, there is one point in the Highlander series that they were way ahead of their time, right? And that is casting a Scotsman as a Spaniard. And the backlash of whitewashing that it got back then. We've heard people have backlash about whitewashing nowadays in recent years, but this movie was so far ahead of its time. The amount of shit it took in its day casting Sean Connery as a Spaniard was unbelievable, right? It was like almost unheard of. It's probably one of the first times, you know, other than like rethinking some really poor choices in early movies where we didn't allow people to play their ethnicities. Short of that, this is one that drove people insane in real time, which is crazy.
Yeah. And I certainly would not have cast Sean Connery even back then. No, would not have cast him as the Ramirez character whatsoever. But they made a movie called Highlander about a Scottish immortal played by a French guy. So we needed to have some sort of authenticity to it. Is Sean Connery busy? He's Scottish. Oh, he'll do it. Cool. He wants to play the Spaniard. Well, we need a star in this thing. So I guess I don't know. I don't know what the story is there, but
I mean, Mark, you're close, but the answer is it was the '80s. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
And well, there you are.
But I tell you what,
or otherwise,
a continuing tradition. Summit Entertainment has the rights now, and they're going to do a remake of Highlander with Chad Stahelski directing. He worked on The Matrix. He's done a lot of the John Wick films. But Henry Cavill is confirmed to play one of the leads. They haven't said which one, but he's a British actor, so he's either playing a Spaniard potentially, maybe he's playing Kurgan, I don't know, or he's playing Connor.
I believe he said he's playing Connor.
Okay,
or at least I think that's the goal. And now he's got a lot of time on his hands, so he could absolutely make that happen.
I'm actually all over that. Like, give me that movie today.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. I can't wait. And usually when you hear they're rebooting an old 80s franchise, you kind of roll your eyes and go, fuck, really? Like, we have the old one, but 100%. We're like, yeah, give me Chad Stahelski. Cause if his work on the John Wick films is any indication, he's a hell of an action director. Like 100%, he's amazing. Yeah. And Henry Cavill in the film, oh, sign me up. That's going to be amazing.
You know what? Give me like an Oscar Isaac or somebody as the Spaniard too.
That's great fan casting, John. That'd be amazing. Absolutely.
I always thought he might be a little too old to do it now, but I mean, he's still doing pseudo action films on occasion. I thought Antonio Banderas would be a cool choice, like
he would
gray bearded Antonio.
I would be all over that, and then give me like Dave Bautista or somebody as Kurgan. Be somebody with some personality and charm, mm-hmm. that can add a little something to that character while also making them completely badass.
You know, that's a great call. I was thinking
shit out of you.
I was thinking Anthony Michael Hall as Kurgan. What do you think about that?
I don't hate it. I don't hate that idea.
Watch Halloween Kills. Shorter. And tell me. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to judge him off of that work in particular, but I don't hate that casting. I do worry he's a little bit more up there in age.
Yeah.
Maybe I would want against a Cavill as
he's smaller than Cavill.
Yeah,
a lot.
He's pretty big. He's pretty big.
He's pretty big, but Cavill's huge.
Cavill's huge.
Yeah. Like
Dave Bautista's perfect casting.
Yeah. I would go Bautista if I didn't have Bautista. See, I like Momoa, but Momoa has a tendency. I almost feel like at this stage of his career, he gets a little bit too silly for my taste. If Momoa could give me a little bit more of Game of Thrones, Momoa,
I would be
like, give me that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in for that. So who's hoping?
Here's hoping that we'll talk maybe about Queen a little bit more as the song goes on. One of the most well-known and greatest bands of all time. We haven't really mentioned them at all, but let's start playing the track here. This is Who Wants to Live Forever from the Highlander soundtrack and from the Queen album, A Kind of Magic.
There's no time for us. There's no place for us. What is this thing that builds our dreams, yet slips away?
Can we talk about how underrated a singer Brian May is for a minute? Like how talented this freaking group is, and how haunting these lyrics are, and how haunting his performance is right now with this song, creating an ambiance and a tone that you would like. We're used to Queen being experimental and giving us more and giving us different, but this is already a different sound from Queen than we're used to, and it's just incredible.
Brian May is
real different.
He's an underrated guitar player and an underrated vocalist. Absolutely, I agree with you there. And I believe, and Mark, you've seen probably seen the movie a lot more recently than I have. I haven't probably seen it since 92, but doesn't Freddie Mercury do all the vocals on the version that's in the film?
If I honestly, I haven't dug too deep into that, but based on how many times I have watched that movie and how I basically learned about the song through that movie, it still sounds like the Brian cut, as it were, or this version that we're listening to. It still sounds like Brian. But if I'm being honest, for the longest time, I didn't know that was Brian singing. I just thought it was Freddie making a vocal choice to be kind of like subtle until the second verse. It wasn't until later when I actually watched the video to the song, I was like, oh, that's Brian singing. And you can hear it now. You can definitely hear the distinction in the vocals. For years, I did not realize Brian started off this song. And yes, John, you are absolutely correct. Very underrated and underappreciated vocalist for a band when he wasn't the primary vocalist at all. But he was he was there on harmonies for background vocals. And then now in this song, starting us off, kind of telling Freddie to take a seat for a second. Let me do this. Absolutely wonderful.
There's no chance for us.
Before I'd seen Highlander, you just think this is just a beautiful, haunting, wonderful song. But frame that in terms of the film, where you see Connor McLeod kind of watching his beloved wife grow old and die, and how well that motif of this song fits in with that part of the film. It's really tremendous.
So Brian saw a cut of the film before it was released. And because they wanted to, they wanted Queen to do the soundtrack, as we know. And he saw a cut of the film, and during this scene, or this montage, whatever, of Connor and his wife, he held on to this line. He even wrote it down in a taxi cab on his way out. He was like, "Who wants to live forever?" You know, just with the context of if I live forever, but I have to watch all of the people that I care about and that I love die around me, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to live? Like, who wants to live forever? And that spawned this, the rest of this song.
This song elevates this movie undoubtedly, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that this movie's held in nearly the regard it's held in. And I think that this movie, you know, it was like a $19 million budget or something like that, which was a decent amount when it came out. But I think it would have benefited from another maybe $5 million for cinematography, specifically. No, but I'm not even joking, because a song this haunting deserved a little bit more time with the storyboard and a little bit more time with the lighting to really create the ambiance that this song is doing all the work for right now. Like when you watch the movie, this song is doing all the work, and it's like, yeah, the acting's kind of doing it. Yeah. Like it's all sort of almost there. And what I'm saying is like another 5 to 10 million on the budget, maybe like another third of the budget into the movie. And you have a movie that's aces even through today.
You definitely feel the emotions that you're supposed to be feeling, but it, and it's like 95% of it is due because, as you say, this song is doing all the legwork because you're just the whoever is the music supervisor knew when to amplify the song, kind of get it in the foreground a little bit more while you just don't pay attention to what Connor is saying, like what the dialogue is or whatever. It's like, no, focus on the song and let the song inform how you're feeling about the events transpiring. And I agree with you, John. I think with a little bit more budget, this scene could have been like the powerhouse moment that it probably should have been. It's still a strong moment, but yeah, it could have done with a little bit more.
This scene would have been the beginning of Up with a little bit more budget. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they could do that animation back then, even with a higher budget, but yeah, I get it.
Once to live forever. Once to live forever.
God bless Freddie Mercury. Can you imagine anyone else doing these songs for Highlander? Now, doing some reading here, there was actually three popular acts from the 1980s that were considered to do the soundtrack for Highlander. Can either of you name any of these three acts?
I'm going to go with Def Leppard as my first guess.
Okay, we got a vote for Def Leppard. Mark?
Probably could have told you like at some point, but that information has slipped my mind, so I'll take a guess. I'll say REO Speedwagon.
Wow, really? You're thinking about it like a very British film, and you went to REO Speedwagon?
Yes.
Incredibly wrong. John was closer with Def Leppard, but the three acts were David Bowie, Sting, and Duran Duran.
See, those are the obvious choice. I went with the less obvious approach.
But Bowie was busy doing Labyrinth at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Sting was busy doing Dune.
Was that was around the 80s? Yeah.
That was around 83.
He did that in 83, though.
So maybe he wasn't nearly as busy at that point. He was probably busy with the police at that point.
Duran Duran was like one of the biggest bands in the world in 1986, weren't they?
I mean, this is still Queen.
Yeah.
Right? This is my point. Like, yes, you're right. And this is still Queen.
Mm-hmm. I remember Queen wasn't real popular there for a while after the whole Sun City incident. Mm-hmm. So
there was you asked the question, could you imagine someone trying to do this now, this particular track? And actually, yes, I can. I think Canadian-born Devin Townsend would do a killer version of this song. For those of you who don't know who Devin Townsend is, look him up. Vocalist for this speed metal band called Strapping Young Lad for years, but then he did does his own stuff, the Devin Townsend Project. Probably one of the most versatile musicians just across all genres, just absolutely just virtuoso, guitar wise vocally especially. That dude is just on another level. I think his version of Who Wants to Live Forever could be spectacular.
So if for the remake you're pitching Devin Townsend to do a cover of Who Wants to Live Forever for the remake coming out hopefully in the next couple of years,
Not only that, I say just give him and his band, just give him the soundtrack. Let him just do songs. Let him, because he's done it. He has worked in movies before. Let him do his thing. I think he would come up with something pretty fantastic.
I want to go a completely different direction. I appreciate what Mark's saying. I think. Listen, I'm not going to compete my ears against Mark's ears on anything musically inclined. But I'm saying I want to go in a slightly different direction. If I'm going to remake this song, give me it's tough. Give me David Draymond.
I could see that.
Give me David Draymond.
Those notes, but
he doesn't. It would be different. Is kind of my point, yeah. Right? It would be forced to be different, and he would make it different, and he make it his own. And I kind of would want that.
Yeah, not me. I'm actually going to go completely different. Like you just kind of went, you know, from black to slightly less black. I'm going all the way to white. Give me a Ann Wilson belting this fucker out. Oh yeah, she'll kill it.
I would not want that at all.
You got to think orchestral. You got to think movie music. Like
I feel like you.
Oh, I am
Disturbed and Devin Townsend. I don't think it's going to get it done in a movie.
I just want to point out, Corey. You just made a modern day, I don't want to miss a thing.
No, I didn't.
Absolutely. 150%. No. Mark.
This song is 100 times better than I don't want to miss a thing.
No, you're missing the point. By putting Anderson on the front of it, it's I don't want to miss a thing.
No.
I think what John's saying is because of
Ann Wilson.
It's like stardom and star power and how saturated.
And her gravitas and what her spin on this song would be with an orchestra wouldn't be that far different.
Why do you need different? Why do you have to improve on perfection? you're going to get the dickhead from Disturbed to do this thing? Fuck no, that'd be terrible.
I want different because Freddie Mercury is fronting this song right now.
Why don't you just get Nickelback to do it then?
I mean, of course, this is where the Canadian goes, right?
Well, they're on par with Disturbed, so why not?
If Nickelback did it, then it would just be another hero situation. Their song "Hero" from Spider-Man.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be Disturbed doing. It's no different than Disturbed doing "The Sound of Silence." It's like, what's the point of this?
Really? That's how you feel about that?
Yeah,
that might be one of John's points about Draymond, because The Sound of Silence by Disturbed is such a far cry different variation of Simon and Garfunkel's. But as much, and you know, say what you will about the band Disturbed, it's, I personally don't find that cover to be all that bad. And I think it's because it's so different than the, obviously I prefer Simon and Garfunkel's, but they made a choice. Disturbed made a choice in their variation of it, and I think maybe that's what John's trying to allude to.
I come from a school, and Corey and I were talking about this a little bit last night off the air. I come from a school where I was a big Typo Negative fan, and when Typo Negative covered Seals and Croft "Summer Breeze" and made it completely their own, and people laugh at that version.
No, but, I love
but made it completely their own, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm envisioning this to be, right? Like the Disturbed version of this to be is not anything like the original. If I want to listen to the original, you know what I'm going to do? Listen to the original. I'm not going to listen to the watered down version Corey's pitching.
Well, and that's what the Disturbed version would be. And you talked about Sound of Silence. They just did it note for note. They didn't elevate it. They didn't change it at all. It was the same song, just done kind of how they do shit, which is just kind of bland and boring. Same with when they did Land of Confusion. It was, had a little harder edge to it, but it's the same fucking song. So what's the point?
Man,
I would say their cover of Land of Confusion is way closer to the original than what they did with Sound of Silence. I think their Sound of Silence is completely the opposite spectrum of what they've ever done. Like, there's not a single guitar in that song.
No, and Sound of Silence, the original, has a vibe and a feeling to it.
Yeah.
Right? And it's haunting, but it's like soft haunting. It's almost like the whispers of wind haunting, right? If you imagine the autumn rolling in and the cold fall crisp winter days, and the leaves hitting the ground, that's really what Disturbed's doing, right? It's spring versus fall is the comparison. And while you're right, they're both seasons, Corey, and one's like the opening of life and one's the closing of life. So there are similarities there. Those are two different notes of a song.
Not even close. If that's your point, then let's get Typo Negative to do Who Wants to Live Forever and do it as like a thrash song. That would be different.
Well,
I would say that. Peter Steele has passed away.
Yeah, so he's not in office anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. Way to bring it down, Corey.
I'm not the one making jackass comments. That's you. So you're telling me you wouldn't want to see like a Lady Gaga on stage with like a huge orchestra behind her? Same thing.
They are not the same thing.
They're 100% the same thing.
100% not.
100% the same thing.
Man, I would have taken Lady Gaga. Ooh. You wouldn't have got 1 ounce of shit for saying Lady Gaga.
Fine, I'm saying Lady Gaga.
I would have been like, absolutely not. and I think Gaga's way better than
Han Wilson.
But as a performer, I would not want to hear her version of this song.
I'm looking for a vocalist who can rival Freddie Mercury, right? Nobody you guys mentioned is even close. At least like a Lady Gaga.
Ann Wilson.
They have the range.
I would encourage you to listen to more Devin Townsend, sir.
Well, and good point. I haven't listened to a lot of Devin Townsend. Yeah. I will give you that. Yeah, 100%.
I like how you just challenged Mark. Mark, you don't know anything about vocalists. Welcome to our podcast, Mark.
I never said he didn't know anything about vocalists. Not at all. This is what happens when John is losing an argument, is that he starts to warp things to try and fit his twisted narrative. And it's just not true. You can tell what he's losing because he backtracks like this and just starts throwing shit out there to see what sticks.
It is the name of the show.
There you go. Yeah.
So, you know, he's just keeping it on brand.
Yeah. So John's going to take Chad Kroeger, just sitting there with Nickelback fucking doing Who Wants to Live Forever in the remake. And it would suck ass. Whereas, I'm trying to at least add some vocal talent to it. And maybe Devin Townsend could do a very good job. That's a very good point. The little bit I've heard of him, he's got a pretty decent range on him.
I like how I'm losing an argument where Corey basically argued all women sound the same. Lady Gaga and Ann Wilson sound the same.
They sound phenomenal. If that's the same, sure.
That's not how that works.
You did say Gaga.
Ann Wilson.
Same thing.
Both are tremendous and both sound better than the dickhead from Disturbed. So there you go.
I don't feel like that was the argument who sounds better. it was what takes.
That's what you're saying right now.
The song. No. It's what take do I want on this song? Like 10 times out of 10, I will say Ann Wilson and Lady Gaga are much better singers than where I'm at.
Great. We're in agreement. Let's play the song. Are you guys a fan of Seal?
I love Seal.
He did a version of this on the Freddie Mercury tribute concert. Did you ever see that?
No, I did not. Well, there's my homework assignment after the show.
There's another very good vocalist who kind of makes this song his own. And he doesn't have the range of Freddie Mercury. He doesn't hit the highs or the lows, but it has a very distinct vocal style that sounds very good on this song.
I remember seeing that. I remember being let down because I am a fan of Seal.
You were let down?
Yeah. I remember being I'm a fan of the Seal. And I just was not impressed with his take on this.
Oh. Well, interesting. I know he kind of mixed up the words a little bit near the end. You know, he didn't give us the big who waits forever anyway at the end. I can't remember what he said, but it was something different. But
he does that to his own songs, though, to be fair. Okay.
but there's an example of a talented vocalist. Again, Devin Townsend, sure. I will absolutely concede that point. David Draiman, fuck no. the Diet Coke of alternative music.
Corey said, keep your butt rock out of my Queen songs.
If we're going by Corey's logic, right? Why don't we just say Beyonce and call it a day?
Why not?
No.
Beyonce would do a good job.
No. No, she would not.
Do you see my point, Mark?
No, she would not.
This is the point Corey's making. Corey's not taking artistic choice or anything into account.
Neither are you. David Draiman? Fuck. You're not either.
I tell you what, though, the more I think about it, it's a shame Peter Steele's not with us, because I think a typo negative version of this song would be like so like such a dreary sort of like trudge, but it would be so cool.
That's what I wanted to say, but I couldn't say it because I live in reality where Corey's like, hey, can we time travel? This isn't the Terminator, like I said at the top of the show, Corey.
I'm aware of that. I'm just trying to find something that fits the movie too. Like, fuck no, David Draiman. That's the worst choice possible. You might as well have picked Weird Al Yankovic. Would have been a better choice. That would have been actually cool. Give me a polka version of this while Connor McLeod's wife is dying.
Polka Queen.
Why not?
Walk Connor McLeod's wife's dying.
Hey, who wants to live forever?
I still think that Corey lost his argument the minute he second-guessed leading with Gaga.
Oh, no. I won this argument 30 seconds into it, and you know that. You've been backtracking ever since.
I'm the only one on the original person I said. You've jumped four different people. Yes.
Are you? I'm literally saying anybody else on the planet would probably do a better job than the douche that you're putting forward.
But I'm sticking to my one argument of, hey, no,
give me Willie Nelson.
It's knock clear it out you, of the park. It's clear you don't like who I picked.
No.
But I'm a man of my convictions, where Corey's just like, I have no conviction.
And now we have to listen to a minute 20 left of this outro because it goes on forever.
I mean, but it ties into the film in such an organic way.
No, I believe this is Michael Kamen, right? Who did the orchestrations for and this song as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Michael Kamen is one of the most underrated contributors to film out there.
Oh, and that we agree. Yeah, he's done some great scores. Still going. 30 seconds.
Well, if you keep pointing it out.
Oh, sorry.
It is a long outro because, you know, they're trying to emphasize the point that, you know, some things just kind of go on and they go on. And who wants to live forever? Because the shit keeps going.
Here's a question.
On. And there you go.
Would you,
yes,
for the remake, would you guys be opposed to Queen and Adam Lambert doing Who Wants to Live Forever?
I don't know that I would be opposed to it. I really have never given Adam's time with Queen a fair chance, like a fair listen. So I'd have to go back and kind of do my diligence on that to give you a full answer. But I don't. Sure. But the idea of it, I'm not against.
John, how about you?
I think, first of all, I think at this point we just got to call it Queen because he's the main part of the band, right? Like,
yeah.
it's not like Brian May and Queen either. Like, they're all just Queen, right? Like, he is Queen now, and I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I wouldn't be opposed to Queen putting out newer stuff together. But I don't feel like that's what we were discussing. Like, we were discussing something different.
I'm not talking about what we're discussing. I was just asking a question. If that's the way that, say, the filmmakers decided to go, would you be opposed to it?
No, like, but by all means, let Queen continue to do all the soundtracks. If you remade Flash Gordon, I'd want Queen to do the soundtrack.
Sure. Oh, you'd have and to. You'd
Adam Lambert, to I've seen Queen with Adam Lambert, and I'm kind of with John, you know, just call it Queen, but they're very adamant in keeping it separate. It's Queen plus Adam Lambert.
That's weird.
Yeah, and they're Brian May, for some reason, is very opposed to doing any kind of new music with Adam Lambert. At one point, there was talk of a song that they were kind of working on, but it's kind of fallen by the wayside, and Brian's just like, I'm not really interested. Maybe because of the whole thing with Paul Rodgers and the album they did there, The Cosmos Rocks, was not very well received. Maybe he's kind of turned off by that, but this is a real standout. I'll even play a little bit for you here. This is Queen and Adam Lambert from their live album that they released Live Around the World just last year. But I mean, Adam Lambert as a vocalist, wow, like, this kid's got chops.
This song is dedicated to those that lost their life last night.
Oh, yes. The Isle of Wight Festival.
In Orlando, Florida. And anybody that has been victim of senseless violence or hatred. There's no time for us. There's no place for us. What is this thing that builds our dreams? It slips away from us.
I love what Adam Lambert's doing here.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is unfortunate, right, is he has so much gravitas. He's Freddie in a lot of ways. And this portion, especially after hearing Brian May being more reserved and holding back more just naturally with how he sings and his style, I really feel that this portion of the song, it's unfortunate that Brian May is not singing this live, and then we shift to Adam, because I miss that in the live performance, right? He's already, even though he's reserved, he can't help but have some of that gravitas in his voice as he's going here. And it's just natural. And I'm not picking on Adam Lambert at all. I think it calls for the Brian May portion here.
Well, and Brian never sang this live in 86. It was Freddie that did every portion of the song live.
That's true. Yeah.
It's not a knock on the band today. It's a knock on the band perpetually that they should have, like, they've given me now a cookie that I like the way they cooked this cookie this way. And now they're cooking that cookie a slightly different way. And it's like, it's still a good cookie, but give me the original batch.
Interesting.
The creature of habit, Mariano is.
I shuttle forward a little bit. I would really want to get into the meat of the song when Adam really gets to kind of let loose here.
Who wants to live forever?
See, I'm looking for someone who can do that.
That's what I wanted to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. And you think Devin Townsend can kind of reach those heights?
Oh, he absolutely can.
Nice.
I direct you to his song Kingdom. If you ever want a sample of the kind of things that dude is capable of vocally. Not for nothing, but I've thrown my own name into the hat when performing this song. There's no surefire way to ruin a person's karaoke night when everyone's doing Carrie Underwood songs and Brooks and Dunn to suddenly jump in the middle of them and do Who Wants to Live Forever to a bar full of redneck drunks. It's the best. It's the best. I had such a fun time doing that.
Now I want to hear a Mark Meyer version of Who Wants to Live Forever. Maybe you should do the remake.
I mean, if they offer it, I mean, if it comes around and I get the opportunity, I would love to have a crack at it.
Awesome. Well, a great pick tonight, Who Wants to Live Forever, an absolutely classic song from an absolutely classic band. We may disagree on who should take the lead vocals on the remake, but we all agree this is an absolute classic and a great pick tonight. Thank you very much, Mark, for bringing this one forward. John, any final thoughts on Highlander or Queen or Who Wants to Live Forever?
I think all of my thoughts about Highlander were contained in the bulk of this show when we didn't talk about Highlander. But Mark, great pick on the song. Like, honestly, it couldn't have been better, because while I don't appreciate Highlander the way some folks do, this song is such perfection. And the fact that this song comes from Highlander and I didn't feel like I wanted to talk about Highlander that much, this really worked out well, because we got to focus on the song.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I picked it, because while I do appreciate the movie, it's the soundtrack that really stands out from it. I honestly is probably directly is the result of why this film sort of took on such a cult status as it did. Was the mythology is intriguing. The execution of the film is kind of so-so, but the soundtrack just absolutely rips. And this song and the scene that accompanies it is a testament, I think, to just how powerful a good soundtrack can be.
And I think we can all agree, whoever, if they decide to bring this song back for the remake, whoever they task to fill these shoes has a very tough job ahead of them. Oh, because, yeah, this is absolutely iconic. And Brian May and Freddie Mercury sing the hell out of this. I never thought about it before until John brought it up. But, yeah, it would be kind of cool if Brian May actually kicked this one off still back in 86 when they did it live. And now when they're performing this with Adam Lambert, that'd be a great way to go. Let's put a ball on this one. Boys, Mark Meyer, where can the folks find you and what do you got to promote?
Hey, you can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me on the show and the podcast will rock right here on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network at Podcast Will Rock on Twitter. And I run the Facebook page and the podcast will rock. So you can find me there, find me and Corey there talking Van Halen and One Track at a Time. And, follow me on social media when you want to yell at me about how wrong I am about particular songs.
Oh, that's going to happen to me when I'm sure everyone's going to shit down my neck for suggesting a bunch of different people to sing the song. John, what do you got coming up? What do you want to promote here?
I honestly just want to promote you guys and the podcast Will Rock. You guys just had me on an episode recently. And, I give Mark a lot of shit because it's a shtick. But the reality is you guys are killing it over there. And like, it's the model for a lot of the work that we do. A lot of the stuff that we did came out of your love for doing it with Mark, Corey, and you just wanted to work more. And Mark's a busy guy, so you found your second husband, and I am happy being your second husband in this trio of menage a trois marriage, because this is a fun group. And Mark, I really badly. If I could promote anything, I want to promote you coming around more often, showing up again on the Aerosmith podcast, coming back here, talking more movies with us. I think you add a dimension to the show that Corey and I, you have a gear that Corey and I don't have you know, with your musical background, and it adds something when you show up.
Well, I try, and I always appreciate recording with you guys. It's always a blast. Even when we yell at each other, it's still so much fun. I will happily come back as often as I can.
Well, and we yell, but it's out of love. A lot of it is usually shtick, especially between Sean and I. We're actually quite close, the three of us. And sometimes I'll just take an opposite position just so I can have someone to argue with. There's a reason why I do two podcasts with John Mariano and why I do one with Mark Kammerer, because I love talking with these boys. And talking music and movies are two of my favorite things and two of my favorite people. So thank you very much for tonight, guys. This is a great song. And like I said, whoever... the producers of the new Highlander remake tasked to cover the song, if they decide to do so, man, they got some big shoes to fill, because Freddie Mercury, Brian May and company knock this one out of the park. This is an all-time movie classic. On behalf of John Mariano and Mark Kammerer, my name is Corey Marsa. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time on Backtracks Theme Music. David Dreaming.
Ever see this guy before, Nash? Name's Vasilek, Polish national. Had his head chopped off in New Jersey 2 nights ago. You ever get over to New Jersey, Nash?
Not if I can help it.
You talk funny, Nash. Where are you from?
Lots of different places.
You're an antique dealer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's that?
A sword?
Wise up, smartass.
It's a Toledo Salamanca broadsword worth about $1 million.
So?
So you want to hear a theory?
Mm-hmm.
You went down that garage to buy this sword from that guy. What's his name?
I don't know. You tell me.
Okay, his name is Amon Fazil, and you fought about the price and cut off his head.
Want to hear another theory? This Fazil was so upset about the lousy wrestling tonight. He went down to the garage and in a fit of depression cut off his own head.
That's not funny, Walt.
You faggot, Nash.
Why, Garfield? You cruising for a piece of ass?
I'll tell you what happened, Russell. You went down to the garage for a blowjob. You just didn't want to pay for it.
Huh. You are sick.
Hey, what are you doing? Hey, stop! Stop it! What are you, crazy?